Let's begin with prayer. Brandon, would you be able to stand and lead us in prayer as we get started? I may have caught him with a mouthful, so give him just a minute.
Day and occasion you've given us. Thank you for all these blessings of this life. Thank you for our clothing, food, and our shelter, our friends and families. Most of all, thank you for our son, for sending your son to this earth to live the perfect life, to die on the cross for our sins. Be with us as we go through this period of study. Help us to keep our minds focused on you and to listen to what Scott has to say. And search the scriptures and make sure that the things that he's saying come from your word. Be with us for this tonight and keep us safe. In Christ's name, amen.
Tonight I want us to have a discussion study, and so I want a lot of the discussion to be coming from you. And I want to talk about some biblical principles and just think with you through some processes about what's important in your life right now, what will be important in your life in a few years, what will be important in your life many years later, as revolves around the question of family. And the first thing I want to say is this. You may not be interested or intending or end up with a family. And that's okay. The Apostle Paul talked about the advantages of not having a family and accomplished so much work in the kingdom of God and faced so many things and did so many great things that he would not have been able to do if his interests had been divided, as he talked about in 1 Corinthians 17, had been busy with all the obligations of a wife and some boys and some daughters. And there's definitely advantages to that. On the other hand, the Bible says he that finds a wife finds a good thing. And my guess is that most of you have an interest in someday having a family. Now, some of you may already be married. I don't know, but I'm guessing that most of you are single. And I'm going to approach it primarily with that in mind. And because we're talking about men and women, when I'm teaching a class, if I'm teaching Romans, those of you that have been in my Romans classes will remember, I like to divide up the class between the Jews and the Gentiles. And we have to make some people be Jewish that aren't Jewish because there's never going to be enough Jews in the class. So we just kind of divide them up. We have the Jews over here and the Gentiles over here. And it helps us as we discuss the topic. Well, we really do have young men and young women here. So we are going to divide up. And so I'm going to ask if the guys will take the seats kind of from here over, and if the girls will take the seats over in this area. And we're going to be talking, and you're going to be talking about some things related to that. Young ladies over here. Young men over here.
We haven't figured out what we are yet.
What's that? Yeah. Then you go to Target. Yeah, if you're not sure where to sit, go to Target.
Oh, is this the third time?
All right. Now, if you think of where you're at right now in the year 2017, for all the different personalities and variations and where you've come from and different things, you're all in roughly the same age group, which is a very different age group than some of the rest of us are in. And over here, we have a lovely setting of young ladies who are here, and here's a bunch of kind of ugly men. No. And I want you to be thinking about where you are now, what you're looking for now, and then thinking in the future about what you're going to be looking for. Because the thing is, you're at an age in life where you make so many decisions that will affect your entire life in a lot of ways, big time. There's almost never a time in your life quite as critical about decision making as where you're at right now. Like, what are some decisions that you are making now or soon that are going to have lifelong impacts probably on your life? Different categories. What are they? Yeah. Can people change jobs? Yeah. Can they change careers? It can be done, but that's a lot harder, right? Like after you've invested in all the time and the studies and something. So changing jobs, you can do, maybe kind of easy. Change career is tough, but it can be done. What else? Yeah. And that one is one you need to be sure you go into with the mindset that you are not going to change that. And what are some ways in which what you think right now might be a little bit different than you will think 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years from now, 50 years from now?
Where you live.
Oh, yeah, that too. That's gonna vary. You're going to live here, you're going to live there perhaps. But back on the spouse choosing part, what are some things important to look for in a spouse? And let's take this kind of by age. Right now, if you're going to think about asking a girl out for a date, what are some of the things that come to your mind that would be appealing about asking somebody out for a date? What qualities or attributes might you be looking for if you're going to ask a girl out on a date? Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. God made women pretty. He made us to be attracted to that. And so, you know, usually a guy doesn't say, "Boy, I really, really, really don't like the way she looks. I think I'll ask her out." You know, it's often that she's my type. I like that. Does anybody here have, and if you volunteer, a set of like great grandparents that are still, you know, alive and healthy, but very, very in love? Anybody got that? All right. Your great-great-grandfather and your great-great-grandmother. And what are some ways in which you can tell that they just love each other?
On Facebook yesterday was his birthday, and she asked him what he wanted, and he said, "Your love."
All right. Now, that is beautiful. That is beautiful. Now, some of you kind of think that's funny because, like, why would an old person want? You're not going to stop wanting love just because you get older. You shouldn't stop being in love just because you get older. Proverbs chapter 5, we went over this earlier. Everybody turn to it. Proverbs chapter 5. What's the last clause in verse 18?
Rejoice in the wife of your youth.
Rejoice in the wife of your youth. Is his great-grandmother still a youth?
No.
No, she's not. But she's the wife of the great-grandfather's youth. And then it says, be intoxicated in her love. I don't know, and I don't want to be rude, and I don't want to insult, because I haven't seen your great-grandmother. And she may be, in many ways, a beautiful woman. But I'm going to guess she does not look like she did when she was 20. Am I right? But I have seen old people. I remember watching this old man whose wife had had a stroke. And she would lie in the nursing home, unconscious, almost. You know, just very hardly aware of anything that went on. And every day, that old man, with what was left of his white hair, would get in his giant old Mercury, and he would drive down to the nursing home, and he would sit beside her and talk to her and watch her. At the end of the day, he would go home. In the morning, he would come back. And every once in a while, she would have a lucid moment. One of them that was exciting to him was one time he was opening some certs or something, and he dropped one, and it rolled on the floor, and she giggled. She laughed. And it was like he'd gotten a reaction out of her. And he was just so happy for that little moment where they reacted. What is that? That's love. All right? Now, how do you get to that? Because does anybody here want to be in a relationship where you're in love for like a year and a half, and then you're not so much in love, and then you just kind of put up with each other, and then you're disappointed the rest of your life? Anybody want that? So biblically speaking, what are some ways to be able to have what he described? What are some biblical principles?
Understanding yourself.
Yeah. That's right. Two selfish people are going to fall out of love really quick. Because two selfish people, they're going to go into it. And if the guy is going into it looking for, here's what I want to get, and the girl is going into it, here's what I want to get, give me some specifics of how that's going to break down really quick. Anybody know, have you ever seen this happen to your friends? Because it happens all the time. One of the first weddings I ever performed, you know how long the marriage lasted? 6 months. There was another wedding a fellow wanted me to do, and I said I wasn't going to do it, so they went and got somebody else to do it. And you talk to them, and they'll sit there and they'll say things like this. You'll talk to them, oh, yeah, I understand. You understand marriage is for life? Oh, yeah, I understand. You love each other? Oh, yeah, you're going to be there. 6 months later, you see the guy, hey, where's your wife? Oh, she's still down in this other state. We decided we need some space. Why does that happen? It happens a lot because of what you just mentioned. But how does that, what are some specifics in how that happens?
Well, if you go into a relationship like marriage, and all you're in it for is what you can get, well, when things get hard, a lot of times it's easier to cut and run.
Yeah. Yeah. And once it gets difficult, guess what? You can get what you want to get somewhere else, not be acceptable to God. But for instance, if you want, I want a guy that can give me this kind of jewelry and this kind of money and this kind of this and that kind of that. And then suppose you get married, and then suppose you've got a child that's born with a lot of medical difficulties, and all of his money is having to go to pay the doctor bills, and you're sitting there, I want my this. Guess what? Can she find some guy that'll spend some money on her? Yes. If that's all she wants. And if there's a guy that only wants a physical relationship, suppose his wife gets sick or something, can he pretty quickly find somebody else that'll give a physical relationship? So if we start a relationship based on selfishness, no matter how much people are saying how much they love each other at the beginning, it just disappears really, really, really quick. What are some things that will be important to you? Let's move past what we look for right now. And I'm not saying, you know, don't be interested in a girl because she's pretty or cute. And don't you know, marry somebody you're not attracted to. I wouldn't advise that at all. Marry somebody you're attracted to, but let it be about more than just the physical. And marry somebody that's going to provide, but not just because they've got some money. But let's move down the road a little bit and think biblically about this. When you're not just looking for a date, but you're looking for a spouse, sometimes your first thought, and it's okay maybe the first thought, but it shouldn't stop there. Sometimes your only thought about this is who I want to be my wife, or this is who I want to be my husband. But it's going to very quickly, likely, be more than that. Because who you pick out to be your husband, there's a really strong chance that within a year or two or three, they're not just going to be your husband, they're going to be your what? Who else are they going to be?
The father of your kids.
That is right. And she's not just going to be your wife, she's going to be the mother of your children. I want you to think about how important it is to take that in consideration, because you would be picking out who will be the father of your children. You're a grown person. You've accomplished what you've accomplished already. You're a grown person. But when your babies come into the world, how vulnerable are they? How independent? How important is it going to be who's going to be their father? Emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, huge. Think about that. Guys, you will be thinking about who is going to be the mother of your children. So I want you to discuss that now, and we'll start with the young ladies. What kind, and I don't want to put people on the spot, but just be thinking collectively here, and then let's have some comments. What kind of a man would you want to be the father of your children? Be thinking about that for a minute. You guys be thinking about the same question. What qualities will you need to look for in the woman that's going to be the mother of your children? And you can mention abstracts or specifics, and if you can think of some Bible verses that help illustrate it, either in a positive way or a negative way, this is why you don't want that. You can also say qualities that you may want to make sure you avoid. What kind of man do you not want to be the father of your children? Let's start with that. What are some things that you would not want in a man who's going to be the father of your children?
Someone quick to anger.
Okay. And that would be, why are some reasons why that's going to be important?
So it can really affect your children if it's not done in the right way, like
discipline. Yeah, yeah, yeah. How is he going to discipline? And is he going to discipline just because he's irritated? Because the child made him mad, or is he going to discipline because he's interested in the well-being of the child? How are you going to feel if you're married to a fella and you're seeing him mistreat your children or abuse your children because he's mad at them or because they broke something of his? At that point, how much are you interested in how cool his car was? How interested you are in how funny his jokes were? All that becomes what? Very irrelevant. What else? What other qualities would you not want to see in the father of your children?
Someone who's lazy, who doesn't know how to work hard.
All right, why is that going to be important?
He's going to be the provider, and he's also going to need to be the father at the same time.
Yeah. Very good. What are some biblical principles that you should think of on these two points? There's a proverb that talks about not spending time, not making friends, not being associated with a man, you know, a hot-tempered man. And then how much is, what are some things Proverbs says about the lazy man? There's a bunch of verses about it. You remember some of them?
If a man doesn't work, don't let
him eat. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. If he won't work, neither let him eat. There's the go to the ant, thou sluggard. There's the fella, it's like a hinge on a door, just turning over on his bed, a little sleep, a little slumber, and what's going to come upon him? Poverty. There's also a lot of warnings in Proverbs about how they handle money and those type of things. What else? Let me tell you this, by the way. A few years ago, a young lady about your age, she was single at the time, Christian young lady, and she had, she lived near a university. She had a number, she had friends her age that were already married to guys. And this is what she said. None of my married friends, and these are all Christians, and generally married to guys that were supposed to be Christians. She said, none of my friends are in a happy marriage. Now that's sad, because all of these marriages would be maybe 1, 2, 3, 4 years old. And she said, none of them are in a happy marriage. Anybody guess some of the reasons why? And it relates in part to what was said over here.
God not providing for family.
Some of the guys, in fact, a lot of them, one of the things was what I was talking about both yesterday and today. One of the problems was pornography. Because these girls married guys, and I've had guys tell me, I've heard guys say, well, I'll probably always have this problem until I get married. The guys that have that problem won't correct that problem. Guess what they do after they get married? They just keep doing it. The fact that they're married doesn't stop it at all. They just keep doing it, and it destroys marriages. But there's also girls that marry a guy, and they thought they were marrying a man, and then they found out they married a boy. Like you were talking about not being lazy and that type of thing. Let me give you a scenario of one couple. She left him. She shouldn't have left him, but she left him. But as I describe the situation, you'll see why she left him. I don't know the circumstances of how they fell in love or anything else, but she married this guy, and he had a job, but it was a real dead-end job that he didn't care about, and he didn't apply himself, and he didn't try to do a good job at it. So he wasn't going to advance. He wasn't providing for the family. It was somewhere he went. There was some spending money. I used to study with a guy who, on Friday, when he got his paycheck, he would spend, for about a year, he spent his entire paycheck on lottery scratch-offs for about a year. That wasn't this guy. This guy, he'd go to his nothing job, and I don't mean that there's just dishonorable work, but there's a difference between somebody that's the best job they can get, and they go and they're honestly trying to do a good job at it, and somebody that doesn't care, and they just... So when he got done, he would go home. Guess where they lived? Anybody want to guess where they lived? You know where he lived. Where did they live? His mama's basement. So... he comes home to his mama's basement, and guess what he does when he gets home to where his wife and kids are? Video games. And he sat down, and he'd play his video games till about 3 in the morning. Guess what his favorite video game was? I think that was it. It was one of those shoot 'em up, you know, military things. It was now. Why is it so easy to have known the situation here? Yes. Okay, so she married. She thought she was marrying a man. She was actually marrying what? A boy. And not just a boy. A spoiled... Yeah, a spoiled brat. Because there's boys. There's boys that know how to work. There's boys that know how to conduct themselves. There's boys that know how to be respectful. He's just an untrained, undisciplined little boy that's grown up, and he sits there, and so he's sitting there playing these, you know, where he's in this military scene, and he's killing all these people. Now, guys, why do you suppose he liked that game so much?
It's an escape for him because he's not proud of anything he does in the real world.
All right, there you go. Yeah. So why is this an escape? Why does he feel different here? What does he feel like? That's right. When he's playing this game, he's coming through here with his automatic weapons and stuff, and he's killing this guy. He's a man! And this foolish excuse of a human being is sitting in his mom's basement playing a game, pretending, I'm a man! And you look at that. Can everybody understand why she left him? She shouldn't have done it. But I tell you what else she shouldn't have done. She shouldn't have married him. All right? What are some other things you do not want in the man that's going to be the father of your children?
Really bad
in-laws. Really bad what?
Really bad in-laws.
Oh, that's, I tell you what, that's good. Yeah, because you're going to be really involved with this family. There's an old expression, you're not just marrying him, you're marrying the family. Now you might say, no, we'll just be away from them. No, his mother's going to be there sometimes. Is that his little brother? And your kids are going to grow up with their cousins. And they're, it can be really, really, really bad. Good point. Good point. What are some things you want to make sure you don't get in the woman that's going to be the mother of your little girls and your little boys?
Someone who's selfish.
Right. So she's kind of a prima donna, and she's like all about herself, and she's always taking selfies, and oh, look how many likes I got on that one. And look, you know, it's been 3 minutes, I don't have any likes. What kind of a mother is this going to be? Really think about what kind of a mother is she going to be? What's she going to want her kids for if she's the kind of woman I just described? Yes, yeah, yeah. For some women, the baby can become like an accessory, you know, or something. And then, of course, you want your kids to do well because that reflects good on who? Me. And you want them to be the star in the play because that's what? That way I get to show off. And you want them to do that. And is that healthy for kids? I don't mean doing good, but if a selfish, selfish woman, is that who you want training your kids? What are some things you want to find in a man that's going to be the father of your boys and girls? Again, think of some biblical principles too.
Patient and kind.
Patient and kind. Now, in high school, how many girls are thinking, oh, I want to go out with him. He's patient and kind. That's not usually what girls are talking about in high school. In high school, what are some of the things girls are talking about? He's on the football team. Yeah. Women down the road are not going to really care if he was on the football team. But if he's patient and kind, that's big points. You know what impresses my wife? Things that I wish would impress her just don't impress her at all. I mean, it just doesn't. If I, like, take the kids and take them to the park so it gives her some time, you know, to do some stuff, especially when the kids were littler and stuff, you know, and give her a bit of free time. Or if I take the boys and we go do something for some elderly people or something like that, that's like points on the board from my wife. All right? I was never on the football team, but my sport was wrestling, okay? I like to wrestle, and I was pretty good, and I still wrestle. I have not been pinned in 33 years. And the last guy weighed 357. But you know how much that impresses my wife? That is exactly right. Tori knows. You know, it's like, oh, I hate this, I hate this, and she's gone. Don't do that. You know, she's not impressed in the bit. I went, you know, if one time she would say, hey, good job, I would be like, I would be on cloud nine. Yeah, she doesn't care. But when I'm impatient, as I have been, you know what? She cares about that. Or if I'm unkind, she cares about that. Not in an appreciative way, but in a very disappointed way. Because she deserves somebody being patient and kind.
And when I'm being patient and kind, listening to maybe some troubles that she's gone through and being sympathetic and listening, I say, oh, I bet that's troublesome. That really touches her heart. So the things that right now seem important, you're going to find as time goes by, there's deeper things that are more important. What are some things you want to look for in the lady that's going to be the mother of your children, if you're married and if you're blessed with children?
I can't think of like a certain principle here, but someone who's good at things that I'm not good at.
Okay. Complimenting. They're an old expression. Blank attracts.
Opposites
attract. For instance, young men, healthy young men are interested in young women. Unfortunately, we live in a society where some non-opposites are attracted. But that's not the way it should be. And it's natural for young women to be interested in young men. And they're also valuable at other things. There are things that Bertina is good at that I'm just terrible at. And so that's really nice for me that she's good at those things. Now, this is one place where if a man decides, I'm the head of the house, so I'm going to make this decision, I'm going to do that, I'm going to run this, I'm going to change it. What's that failing to do that relates to what you just said?
Acknowledges her strengths.
Yeah. Yeah. In the tale of the worthy woman, who considered a field and bought it and planted a vineyard? Yeah. He didn't say, I'll do the vineyard deciding around here. You know, who made the robes of scarlet and stuff? She did. In other words, what she's good at, let her do that. And likewise, there's things that the guy is going to be good at. Now, let's think down the road a little bit farther. Any other Bible verses that come to mind on this that we've talked about so far?
I would look for somebody like Timothy's mother, Eunice, because as much as I would like to be there and do all the teaching, as much teaching as I can for my children, the fact is I'll be at work most of the time, so I'm looking for somebody that while they're at home with the children will be looking to teach them biblical principles.
That's very, very valuable. As I said to Timothy, the faith that was first in your mother and in your grandmother. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. I used to do this exercise with high school guys back at Sewell's leadership camp. So we would take somebody, and so here, I'll take one of you guys. I need a volunteer to come up here if somebody will volunteer for this. I know you don't know what you're about. All right. What's your first name?
Josh.
Josh. All right. We're going to pretend you're younger than you are, because this was usually like with 15-year-olds and stuff like that. We're going to pretend you're younger than you are. We're going to advance you through life really quick, okay? Right. Do you happen to be engaged at the moment?
Not.
All right. So very good. Okay. So this is 15-year-old Josh, and he's going to graduate high school. So let's hear the pomp and circumstance music. This was a very sorry graduation, but you're now graduating. All right, now you're going to go to school. What university are you going to go to?
Auburn.
Oh, well, that's a good choice. There you go. War Eagle. All right, so now, what's going to be your major?
Don't know.
Okay, so just pick something right now. Somebody pick something for us.
Biology.
Okay, so you're going to be a biology major. All right. What's going to be his income his first year out of school? Somebody pick a number? He said, no. We're going to just go with whatever it was. All right. Now, he's met a young lady. Somebody just pick me out a name, not somebody in this room. Just a name of, what was the name?
Samantha.
He met this young lady named
Samantha.
Samantha, okay, all right. I don't hear her well. You get older, you hear her go. Okay, so now he's met Samantha. Samantha also is at Auburn University. Young ladies, what's her major? Pick one.
English.
He's an English major. Okay. What's she going to be making when they come out of school? Pick a number. All right. So there's your income, and there's her income. And so now they get married. Let's hear the wedding music. Okay, that was better. That was better. Your graduation music really stank, but that was better. All right, now you're married, and look at all this money that you've got. You've got this much money. She's got this much money. So now we're going to go on a buying spree. All right, what kind of house do you want? Dream house here. Go ahead.
4-bedroom, 3-bath.
Sounds good. All right. What do you want to drive?
What should I drive?
What should he drive? Come on.
Honda.
Oh, he's no kids yet.
Prius.
Oh, all right, we're being economical here. I've got
a
Prius.
That's what I drive. A Prius.
And a Mini Cooper. My car is a Mini Cooper. My wife is a Prius. All right. So we've got him in a Prius. Get something better in the Prius.
All right.
F-150. All right. So you're looking good in your F-150. But see, drive it. Young ladies, give his wife a car. What'd she get? All right. So she's got a 4Runner. Now, we want some toys, right?
Right.
All right. So how big is the TV?
50 or
40. Nice. And what kind of outside stuff do you like? You like water, skiing, traveling?
Yeah.
All right, pick one of those.
All right, travel Europe.
Okay, all right, so we're going to be traveling Europe. You've got her income, you've got vacation time. Here's some time, she's got vacation time this time. And so you book. But now, on that income, we got a lot of stuff that we've just bought here. Is there enough income to pay for all of that right now?
No.
So what do we do? Yeah, because we've got plastic here, and so we'll put that trip on that, and so we're really going now. We got lots of stuff. We got the trip to Europe, right?
Yep.
She's got the 4Runner. You've got the F-150 and the Prius because you need some good gas mileage sometimes. You got the giant TV. You're sitting there. You got the pretty wife. She's the English thing. You're the biology thing. You got all, and then wah. It's not mine. What you gonna do with that?
Hold it better.
What are you gonna do with that?
He said, I don't know.
Okay, because she's got to go back to work right away. Because you just bought a mortgage based on two incomes. You've got car payments based on two incomes. You still haven't paid for the trip to Europe. And so can you stay home with the baby?
No.
What are we going to do with this baby?
Sell something. Sell the Prius.
All right, sells the Prius. Is that going to take care of it?
No.
Okay, so you just sold the Prius, but that baby still needs somebody with that baby. Who's going to take care of that baby?
Mom. I was going
to
say him.
Because that's what grandparents are for, to take care of our children. Who brought this child into the world? Josh and Samantha. Whose responsibility is it? Josh and Samantha's. Is Grandma going to enjoy having some time with that baby?
Yeah.
Yes, but whose responsibility is it?
Sorry.
So now you've got all these bills and you can't afford to have her stay home. So is there a place that you can put that baby and pay some people to take care of it while y'all go make your money?
Good.
Yes, here's the daycare right over here. Okay. With all these other kids. By the way, who are the workers at the daycare? People of the world. Very, very highly trained. No? Maybe minimum wage of people that don't necessarily want the job in some cases. Sometimes they do care. There used to be a website called Daycares Don't Care. And women that worked at daycares would write in and tell about why they would never put their kids in daycare. And they would tell horror stories. That doesn't mean that everybody that runs a daycare doesn't care, and it doesn't mean that none of the workers care, because some of them do. One of the ladies wrote in, she said, I want to take those children and hold them and hug them. They'll be laying in the crib crying, maybe banging their head on the side of the crib, and we're not allowed to show them affection and hold them because they'll just want it more. And that's her job. I knew a girl that worked at a daycare. She said, I'm the drug girl. You know, all the kids have all these drugs that they're on, and some of them are needed. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of drugs they're putting kids on that they don't need that would have been solved if there was a structural family taking care of those kids. Some kids need some medication, but she's got the pack with all the drugs. I talked to another young lady who was running a daycare, and she said, I wanted to start one that would treat things right. She said, I used to work at other daycares. She told me these two stories. My job was to scribble drawings so that when the parents came, they would be able to say, oh, look, this is what your child did today. And it wasn't what their child did today. That was what she did. She scribbled childish drawings in the day. She said another time it was my job to tell the parents when they got there that the bruise on the face was from falling off the slide, when really it was because one of the daycare hitters, care providers had hit the child. I've got some friends that run a daycare, and I don't want to be too detailed and gross about this, but it was a very small daycare in a home, like about 6 or 8 kids, and they walked down in the basement, and they found the 6-year-old employing the 3-year-old in sexual activity that the 6-year-old and 3-year-old would never have thought of on their own. Where did the 6-year-old get that idea? The 3-year-old's just being used. Where did the 6-year-old get the idea? Well, in the neighborhood, the 6-year-old had been babysat by a teenage girl. Well, that's pretty. You girls ever get a job babysitting when you were in high school? That's a great thing. Girls do some babysitting. People now, they don't even care sometimes who the babysitters are. This girl lived in a family where the parents had sex in front of the children. We live in a world now where if you've got 30 children in a room, do not be surprised if some of them are already victims of sexual abuse. It's rampant. And guess what those little children then often do with what's happened to them? They go at a very, very young age from being victims to also being perpetrators. A 6-year-old is doing that, he's both. These friends of mine that run the daycare, they talked to it was either the supervisory board, I don't know if it was corporate or state and legal. But they discussed the problem up there, and you know what they were told? Keep this quiet. Don't let the parents know what had happened. Fortunately, these people had character, and so they told the parents of everybody that had children there what had happened. They removed the other child. They said, here's what we're going to do to make sure it doesn't happen again. But I'm relating this to you because the standards of this world don't need to be our standards. And just because everybody else is able to afford a lot more and spend all this money, because all they're doing is making money and spending money and stuff, and oh, you just put your kids here. Understand, those can be dangerous places. And what does this child deserve?
Be taught God's
word. Yeah. This also deserves what?
Your parents.
Yeah, yeah. So, if we can back up, here's Josh and Samantha, and they've graduated, and they've gotten married. What might be a better idea? Before there's any kids, might it be a good idea to have 2 incomes coming in? You know what's a good idea? Yeah, some financial advisors have pointed out, and I'm just going to recommend this as a thing, start living on one of the incomes. And guess what you can do with that other income?
Saving it,
be putting it, you know, getting it ready for the down payment on the house or whatever. And then when baby comes along, guess what? Your bills fit that income, and what does baby have?
Mother.
Yeah. Now, let's fast forward your grandparent age. What's going on? You got old real fast, Josh. What's going to be some things that are important to you about your children and your children's children when you're grandparents?
Make sure you raised your kids right so they'll raise their kids right.
Yeah. That's right. Any other things? Let's wrap up with some Bible verses. What are some Bible verses that come to mind on any of these principles that we've talked about? Yeah. And when it's old, yeah, he won't depart from it. What are some other Bible texts? Yes. And because here's another thing. If I grow up in a house where when I was inconvenient, my parents paid some, you know, minimum wage caregivers to change my diaper and take care of me because they weren't interested in being troubled with me, guess what I'm going to do with mom and dad when they get old and inconvenient?
Pay someone to change their diaper.
That's right. That's right. And go and say, oh, here's what they scribbled today. Hey, bye, Pops. What are some other principles here as we wrap up?
You want them to know the word. I think like Deuteronomy 6. You want them to know the word.
Yeah. Yeah. You want them to know the word. And if we take all of our cues from the world and we pursue all of the things of the world, even if we take our children to church, what impact is that likely going to have if in our homes we're just materialistic and selfish and don't care about them?
They're going to grow up believing that's the way you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
I mean, you can take somebody to church all you want to, but if you're not living it and you don't genuinely believe it, I mean, I don't have any kids, but I've got young cousins and stuff like that and everything. They know what's going on. They're not stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, and the examples we set speaks volumes to them. Like, you know, if we go to church, unless there's a football game I want to watch, we go to church unless you've got a Little League game, what lessons learned there? Church is something you do as long as there's not something fun going on. All sorts of lessons. Any final comments? Yeah, and so it should be appreciated.
Qualities y'all bringing up, the good, the bad, and all that. Remember Daniel 1:8 when he resolved himself he was not going to be defiled by the king's food. What I mean by that is go ahead and make up your mind now that these are things you're not going to live with, that you can't live without.
Amen.
Because you don't want some guy or gal coming and sweeping you off your feet with all the superficial stuff that doesn't even matter in the long run. Because by the time you get caught up with that and you're in love, engaged, all that, you are going to be one of those deathest persons to try to talk to about that. And I'll do it. I'll talk to y'all. If one of you are about to marry some knucklehead or somebody that's going to ruin your life, I will talk to you about that. But the problem is, you won't listen to a word that I'll say because you'll be so, you don't know, right?
that's right.
Love is blind. You can't see it. So you've got to decide right now. You're not going to live without these qualities, and you're not going to take these qualities. Decide right now. Make it through.
Yeah. Josh, thank you very much. And let's close with a prayer. And Ryan, would you lead us in that prayer?
Dear God, we thank you so much for the opportunity we've had to come again to study your word. It's just been such a great blessing, really, since Friday night to really gather together and to learn so much, particularly the subject that we've just been discussing. We pray for resolute minds and hearts for all those that are here, particularly those that are not married yet, that they'll make wise decisions in whom they choose, that they'll look for the qualities that are good and wholesome in wives and husbands. Help them to be able to mature themselves so that they can recognize the good and the bad and use wisdom in those selections. Be with us all that are married and help us to always devote ourselves to one another. Forgive us when we fall short. Help us to always be merciful towards one another. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And if you do get married, if you do have kids, end up like his great grandparents. Thanks a lot.